Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
The Word of God is an anchor. The Word of God is our foundation. We're going to lean in and pay attention to the Word of God. I have a few Iranian friends and they are awesome. They're filled with faith. Is Adi here? Adi, if you're here, just raise your hand. That's an amazing man of God from Iran. And we're going to hear from an amazing woman of God from Iran, or Persia, as someone would say. We have the privilege and honor of listening to Pastor Layla bring the word this morning. Pastor Layla Nahavandi, we love you. We honor you. But before she gets up, we have a testimony from someone in the life of our church that is going to become like a platform from where Pastor Layla is going to bring the word of God. Is that okay? You all ready? You all buckled up? Your notes are out? Your pens are out? Good. Awesome. Turn your eyes to the screen and then we're going to welcome and stand up and welcome Pastor Layla.
Hey guys, my name's Daniel and I'm sharing my testimony today. So growing up, I had no faith. I didn't believe, and I had a pretty strict rule that, you know, he stays out of my house and I stay out of his. And I was radically saved about 6 years ago through some outcomes through our daughter that was radically saved, firstly with my wife, and then a crazy prophetic word, and then a series of events that just happened there that were near impossible to happen on their own. So firstly, it would be that I would be humbled, and I would be humbled quickly, and bang, all of a sudden, all my friendships that are brotherhoods for 20 plus years were broken out of my life. To give that context, I was in a very dark world. You know, in one stage I was an executive, on the flip side I was hanging out with people that were infamous. So, you know, to lose that brotherhood was such a shock, but I was like, you know, that's not God. I still not believing. The second one was that there would be a break in the family, and then all of a sudden we have, you know, we're about to get a permanent residency for my wife and daughter, and that just gets snatched right from underneath us while they're stuck overseas and there's a break in the family. We get a prophetic word that in 3 weeks they're going to be back in the country. I don't even believe. So I'm like, that's not going to happen. I go against that word. 3 weeks on the dot, Saturday, 6:30 a.m. in the morning, bang, they get their visas. They've got permanent residency in the country. And from there, it just started that they came back. I went to church quickly and I wasn't really feeling anything, but we heard a message, and it was a message about prayer and fasting. Didn't believe. It was like a good feeling within the church, but I didn't understand. Going to 7 days of full fasting, come to the backside of this message. I've asked the Lord through these 7 days, if you're real, carry me. And he did. He gave me a vision, and I'm not a dreamer, I don't have visions. Gave my life to Jesus. After that 7 day period, baptized 4 weeks or 6 weeks later, and then started doing Bible college a few weeks after that, and just been running for the Lord ever since. And I would just love to encourage you that there's hope for your partner. There were so many people in the background praying for me, interceding on my behalf. Don't give up on that lost one.
Come on, what a powerful testimony. Can we give Jesus a shout of praise? He deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise for what he's done. Amazing. You can go ahead and take a seat, church. It's such an honor to be with you here this morning. If we've never met before, my name is Layla, and I'm so excited to be sharing the word today. I'm really believing that every person in this room this morning would have a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And if you believe that, why don't you give him one more shout of praise? If you want to have an encounter with Jesus. So good, so good. Well, it is Baptism Sunday today, and we had the privilege of watching many people this morning walk through the waters of baptism. Congratulations to every single person who made that decision and that public declaration of faith and got baptized this morning. I know there's probably many friends and family members here this morning as well to celebrate. So a special welcome to you. Church, can we welcome one more time the visitors, the family family members. You know, every single person who made that decision to get baptized today did so because Jesus has changed their life. They've had a radical encounter with Jesus that has left their life completely transformed. And I can attest to that as well. My life has been totally transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus and by encountering Jesus for myself. I was actually born into a Muslim family. My dad is Iranian. My mum is Irish. I was born in England, raised in New Zealand, spent 27 years of my life in Australia, and now I'm a missionary in Germany. So figure that one out. Praise God for what He's doing in my life. But I am the United Nations in one person. But I live in, I don't know why I'm telling you about Germany. I was born in England and into a Muslim family. And so my mum had converted to Islam to marry my dad. She'd grown up in Ireland, but grown up in a very abusive family. And she converted to Islam to marry my dad because they were in love. And they ended up moving to New Zealand when I was 2 years old. And by the time I was 5 years old, we were a family of five. So I have a younger brother and a younger sister. And everything was all good until one day it wasn't. And my auntie had come from Iran to live with us, and we didn't know at the time, but my auntie was actually schizophrenic. And so for anyone who's ever dealt with mental health issues in your home, in your family, or with your friends, you probably know how difficult that can be sometimes. And at first, my mum thought it was just cultural differences. Maybe it's the language barrier. But over time, our house became more and more intense as my auntie's behaviour became more erratic and crazy. I remember as a five-year-old kid, I remember standing with my dad in the lounge room with my auntie pulling a knife on my dad and threatening his life. And so as you can imagine, our home life was chaotic. It was crazy. And so one day my mum turned to my dad and she said, "I can't do this anymore. If you don't get rid of your sister right now, I'm going to take the kids and we're going to go." And my dad was stuck. He's like, "I can't push her out onto the streets. I don't know what to do." And so my mum said, "That's it, we're leaving, we're going." And we packed up our things and we moved into a women's and children's shelter. I was living there with my brother and my sister, my mum at the time. And at that time, it was probably the worst time of our lives. I remember my mum was so depressed, so hopeless, so alone. It was the early 90s and we didn't have anything like FaceTime or different things like the internet or anything like that. And all her family was over in Ireland. She didn't have many friends in New Zealand. I just remember as a five-year-old child just watching my mum be just so depressed, so lonely, so broken. But she had one friend who was a neighbour of ours. And this neighbour knew Jesus. She went to a Pentecostal church and she loved Jesus. And she reached out to my mum and she said, "Hey, I know that your life feels like it's a mess right now. I know that you feel so broken and so hopeless inside, but I believe that Jesus loves you and He has a plan and purpose for your life. And if you would just surrender your heart and your life to Jesus, I believe that He can make something beautiful out of this mess. I believe that you will never regret surrendering your heart and your life to Jesus." And something inside of my mom was just like, yes, what this lady is saying is real. What she's saying is true. There was a witness in her spirit and in her soul. And so she said to this lady, "Yes, I want to become a Christian. I want to give my life to Jesus." And so that day she prayed a prayer to invite Jesus to be her Lord and Savior. And she got baptized in this lady and her husband's bathtub, which didn't look as nice as the baptisms here this morning. But my mum's life was totally changed from that moment on. I remember watching her just be full of the joy of the Lord. I remember watching her chaos and her stress and anxiety turn to peace in God, peace in Jesus. I remember just watching her just be totally transformed in this relationship with Jesus. And so we ended up going to church and my mum felt like we needed to move back in with my dad. He was able to get another house for my auntie and fix that situation there. So we moved back into the house with my dad, but my dad was not a Christian. And so my mum would share about Jesus with my dad and about the love of Jesus and how Jesus had come to change his life too, and about what Jesus had done in her life. And my dad comes from a Muslim background. He's grown up Muslim, grown up Islamic in Iran. And so he said to my mum, I will never become a Christian. I never, ever, ever will believe in Jesus. I'm going to be the last Muslim on earth, all right? And so my mum gets a Bible and she's like, no, I believe that Jesus wants to show himself to you. I believe that you can encounter him and you can experience what I've experienced. And so she grabs her Bible and she opens the Bible. And she said, I bet if I just put my finger on one verse, I believe it will be a verse from God directly for you. And my dad was like, okay, she's been brainwashed. What's going on here? And as she points to the verse, she had a scripture from the book of John. And it said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And it was Jesus who was saying these words. Come on, my dad, he still didn't believe. He's like, you made that up. He's a very skeptical person. He's actually a professor of robotic engineering. So he was like, you can never convince me to believe in this Jesus. But my dad was worried about us kids being brainwashed, about his wife being brainwashed as she was going to church. So he decided one day to come along to church with us. He was sitting in the back row of the church, and he was listening to all these people getting up. He was very skeptical about what was happening. But he heard people talking about the Bible, about Jesus, about different people in the Bible. And as he's talking, as they're talking, they're sharing testimonies, just like this morning, about lives being changed and about bodies being healed and people being set free from addictions. And people started to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And they had never heard about the Holy Spirit before. My dad had never heard about the Holy Spirit before. And so he decided, as the scientist that he is, he decided to do an experiment on the Holy Spirit, as you do. And so he was lying in bed one night and he just prayed this dangerous prayer. He prayed this prayer. He said, Holy Spirit, if you're real, then show me. There might be some people in this room today that you've come in with your friends, family. I encourage you, pray a bold prayer like that. Jesus, if you're real, show me. Holy Spirit, if you're real, show me, because I believe he will reveal himself to you. So my dad was lying in bed, and as he prays this prayer, all of a sudden, the wind of God began to blow all over his body. He feels this wind. He's never read the Bible, never read Acts chapter 2, where it talks about the Holy Spirit coming like a mighty rushing wind. And so he's lying there, and being a scientist, he thought, what a coincidence. Like, that's not possible. So he got up to check all the variables in the room. He legitimately got up and he checked the curtains. He checked the windows. Nothing was open. And so he went back to bed very confused, and he was lying down again. And then as he was lying there, all of a sudden he felt the wind of God a second time all over his body. Then he feels it a third time, more intense than before. And he felt the Lord say to him, I want to show you that I'm real. I want to show you that Jesus is Lord. And so from that day forward, my Muslim dad decided to become a Christian. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. I remember sitting on the edge of the baptismal tank when I was a child, watching my dad get water baptized. And I can tell you, from that time onwards, our family's life, our lives have never been the same since. Jesus totally transformed our lives. And I believe this morning that Jesus wants to come and totally transform every single one of our lives here today. I want to have a look at a passage of scripture in the Bible that talks about two people who had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And it comes from Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. The words will come up on the screen as well. It says this: that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and that and they were talking to each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened." Let's jump down to verse 27. It says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures all the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if they were going further, and they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." I want to share a message with you this morning that is entitled "Open Eyes and Burning Hearts." Open eyes and burning hearts. In this passage of scripture, we encounter two travelers who were on a journey that took a turn they never expected. It's a story about two people whose journey collided with Jesus. And in this story, we see that three things happen to these people as their journeys collide with Jesus. And I believe that these three things are not just three things that happened when their journey collided with Jesus, but these are three things that happen when every single one of our journeys collide with Jesus. The first thing that happened when their journey collided with Jesus was that Jesus came and joined their journey. And when our lives encounter Jesus, he joins our journey. We find these two travelers that were downcast, they were sad. The Bible tells us that things had not turned out the way that they had hoped, and nothing had gone according to their plan. The world around them had left them weary and wanting. And it's true that when we put our hope in the things of this world, when we put our hope in our own plans, this world can leave us wearied and wanting. At some point or another, every one of us in this room has probably asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? I know myself, I was with a friend in Belfast just maybe 2 months ago. I was sitting across the table from him as he was telling me about how he climbed up a ladder to fix something. It was only a couple of meters high. He fell off the ladder and now he is completely paralyzed and in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe we ask the question of ourselves, what's wrong with the world today? Why is there so much evil and pain and suffering in the world around us? The Bible has an answer for us. The Bible tells us that what is wrong with the world today is the same thing that was wrong with the world yesterday. It's the same thing that was wrong with the world 2 years ago, 500 years ago, and 2,000 years ago. The problem with the world today is a problem that is as old as humanity itself. And this is the problem of sin. See, no matter how hard we try, we can never get away from the problem of sin within us and the problem of sin around us. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the answer to the problem of sin. As the sin in us and the sin around us leaves us wearied and wanting, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, this rest that Jesus is talking about is not a two-week holiday in Hawaii, as good as that sounds. Who would like a two-week holiday in Hawaii? Yes, well, we have one. No, I'm joking. Sorry, disappoint you. But we have something better, and that is the rest that Jesus can give you. This is a soul rest. This is a salvation for our soul. It's peace with God. The Bible tells us that when this world disappoints us, we have this hope that is an anchor for our souls. When the winds and waves of life crash around us, when we don't know where to turn, we have this hope, something that stabilizes us, something that holds us, something that keeps us, and it is the hope of Jesus. He is the hope of the world. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as Jesus joined these disciples on that road that day, he was sharing with them a new and better way. He was sharing with them that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. You know, last month I had the opportunity to preach the gospel at a studio in Dallas, and it was being broadcast to 7 million people in Iran. There was all of these people in Iran that I got to share the gospel with, and this ministry is called Iran Alive Ministries. And they started to tell me about the millions of people who had given their lives to Jesus in Iran. Come on, we need to give God some praise. There are millions of people in Iran today who are becoming Christians and exchanging a legal religion for an illegal conversion. Wow. To anyone who doesn't know Jesus, this could be quite confusing, because maybe we could think to ourselves, why believe in an illegal God when all roads lead to heaven, when all religions are the same? But the truth is that the Bible tells us that there is only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said there is no other way to the Father except through me. So each and every one of these millions of people who have made this decision to follow Jesus has encountered Jesus for themselves. And every single one of these people in Iran is saying, hey, for the sake of knowing Jesus, I am willing to give up everything. They are willing to give up everything. Why? Because when you encounter Jesus, your eyes are open to see him clearly. You know that there is no turning back and there is no other way. The second thing that happens when we encounter Jesus is our eyes are opened. We see this in this passage of scripture with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It says that their eyes were open to see him. And they knew him, they recognized him. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. Now, Krispy Kreme donut first came to Melbourne on the 22nd of June 2006. I don't know if you remember that special day, but I was in high school at the time, and I remember people just waiting for hours and hours and hours to get into that store because they wanted a Krispy Kreme donut for themselves. They wanted to taste and see that these donuts were good. And they were waiting. They were lined up for hours and hours and hours. Well, this was in 2006. And in 2008, I ended up moving to Adelaide. Now, Adelaide didn't get their first Krispy Kreme donut store until the 15th of July, 2014, right? Typical Adelaide, behind the times. And so for 6 years, as I would travel back and forth between Melbourne and Adelaide, when I would get on the plane from Melbourne and fly to Adelaide, there were so many people in that same plane with boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts that they were smuggling across the border to Adelaide because they wanted their friends, their family to taste and see that Krispy Kreme donuts are good. They wanted everyone else to experience these donuts for themselves. And do you know what? In the same way, when we taste and see that God is good, we can't keep it to ourselves. We want everyone around us to know. We want our friends, our family, our business friends, our workplace mates. We want everyone to taste and see that He is good because Jesus totally changes our lives. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus came to give us the fullness of life here on earth, but also in eternity with Him when we pass from this life to the next. The third thing that happens, maybe if the worship team could join me, third thing that happens on this road to Emmaus is that the disciples' hearts burn within them. They said to themselves, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened the scriptures to us?" Their hearts burned inside of them. Sometimes we can think that religion is just all about rules and regulations. But true Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus that sets our heart on fire. True Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus that makes our spirit come alive. A relationship that gives you true peace, true hope, and true freedom in Jesus. Jesus wants to come and set our hearts on fire this morning. It's about a relationship with Him. Now, I have a friend who also grew up in Melbourne. His name is Adam. And he was also born into a Muslim family. When he was about 15 years old, his parents ended up splitting up and his life just started to spiral out of control. He tried to find hope, he tried to find freedom, he tried to find fulfillment in all sorts of things that the world had to offer. He was just in high school, and so he would go out on the weekends and he would get drunk, go to parties, hook up with girls, did whatever he could to try and fulfill that void that was inside of him, but he just couldn't. He was still so empty and so broken. When he was in his 20s, he ended up getting a job in airport security at Melbourne Tullamarine Airport. And as he was working there, there were two other Christian guys who were on his team. And these guys reached out to my friend Adam and they started sharing the gospel with Adam, started telling him about Jesus and how he loves them, how he loves him. And my friend Adam was like, "I don't want anything to do with this Jesus. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. Don't talk to me about God. Don't talk to me about religion." Religion had left a bad taste in his mouth. And so he said to them, "I don't want anything to do with it," but they just kept loving on him. They just kept sharing the gospel with him. They just kept doing whatever they could to be the hands and feet of Jesus in his world. So he would be out at nightclubs all night. He would be doing drugs and they would go and they would pick him up from the park bench and they would bring him into work in the morning. One day he was just so moved by the love that these guys had shown him that he was on the bus on the way to work. It was between the car park and his work. They had a little shuttle and he was in the bus. And he prayed this prayer in his head. He didn't even pray it out loud. He just said, God, if you're real, then prove it. So he gets into work that day. He forgets about the prayer that he had prayed in his head, and he's just working on the security line. People are coming through. They're taking off their jackets. They're taking off their laptops. They're putting them in the buckets. They're going through the lines. When all of a sudden, one person who's walking through stops, and they looked my friend Adam in the eye, and they said, hey man, we don't know each other, but I'm a Christian, and I felt that God wanted me to tell you that he loves you and he has a plan and purpose for your life. My friend Adam was like, okay, cool, thanks, no worries, awesome, you know? That guy just kept walking, he kept going on with his day, went and caught his flight. A few hours later, a second person came through the security line. They stopped my friend Adam and they said, hey man, I believe in Jesus. And I believe that Jesus wanted me to tell you that he heard the prayer you prayed and he loves you and he has a plan and purpose for your life. Come on. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My friend Adam, he yells out to the two other guys who work with him. He goes, oi, call the priest. I need to become a Christian. Come on. So he ends up going to church with these two work colleagues on Sunday. He gives his life to Jesus. He prays a prayer to make Jesus the Lord of his life. He got water baptized. He got set free from all of this stuff that was oppressing him. And today, my friend Adam is a pastor in New Zealand. He shares the love of Jesus with thousands and thousands of people, seeing many lives changed and transformed over there. Maybe you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I believe that today can be your day for your journey to collide with Jesus so that Jesus could join your journey. Your eyes would be open to see him clearly and your heart would burn with his love for you. If we could just bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that there is one way to heaven and his name is Jesus. The Bible tells us that it is not by our own good works, that it is not by our own striving or anything that we can do in and of ourselves, but it is by the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross that we can be in relationship with God and we can go to heaven when we die. If you're in this room today and you would say, hey, Layla, I don't know if I was to die tonight, whether or not I would go to heaven or hell, then I want to tell you this morning, my friend, you can know what it is to have your eternity secured with Jesus in heaven. You can know what it is to have peace with God, to have a relationship with God here on earth, and to know that your final destination when you pass from this life into the next will be heaven and not hell. Maybe you're in this room today and you've never prayed a prayer to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. In just a moment, I would love to pray a prayer for you to invite Jesus into your heart today. But maybe there are others in this room and you've been around church and you've heard the gospel before, but you sort of feel distant from God this morning. You feel like you've been on a path sort of walking away and you'd say, today I want to come back to Jesus. Today I need to make a decision to follow him with my whole heart, with my whole life. I want to know that I know that I know that I have relationship with him this morning, that my sins are forgiven and that I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, I just want you on the count of three with every head bowed, every eye closed, just to give me a wave, and I would love to include you in our prayer today. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. I see that hand in the back there. Awesome. I see that hand right up the back over here to my left. Amazing. Anybody else on my right? I see those hands there. Up the back on my right as well. I see that hand there. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus this morning? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand on my right there. Awesome. I see that hand on my left in the middle. Anybody else? This is the best decision you could ever make. This side of eternity, to give your life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else in this room today, give me a wave. If you say, Layla, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to know what it is to have my sins forgiven and to be in relationship with God. Anybody else in this place today, you are worth waiting for. You are worth waiting for. Yes, amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I believe my brother who just lifted up your hand, I believe that God has an amazing plan and purpose for you. He waited for you. He told me there's one more, but I believe there might even be some others. Is there anybody else in this room? Do not miss out. Do not miss out on making this decision. Amazing. I see that young man in the back there as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand to our feet right now? There were so many people who lifted up their hands today that I would love to meet you guys. I would love to pray with you at the altar down the front. And so if you lifted up your hand, we're going to get the whole church to welcome you, to give you a round of applause. Why don't you come and I would love to pray with you. Amazing. Just come, just come. If you lifted up your hand today, come, come. Amazing. Why don't you turn to the person next to you, say, hey, I'll go with you if you lifted up your hands. So good. So good, so good. Come on, come on. All those people, there was about 10 people that lifted up their hands. Come down, come down. Come down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No one wants to come to the front. It might be a bit intimidating. That's okay. That's fine. What we'll do is we'll pray in our seats. I know there were so many that lifted up their hands, but hey, maybe coming in front of all of these people is a bit too much. Are you coming down? Let's go. Come on. That's awesome. Congratulations. So good. Congratulations. Anybody else want to join her today? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Congratulations. What's your name? Alejma. Oh, praise God. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in her life. God bless her right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, come pour out your spirit upon Alejma in Jesus' name. Thank you that she'll never be the same. Never be the same again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your courage and your boldness, Alejma. You're awesome. You're awesome. But hey, if you didn't want to come down the front, I totally understand. We're going to pray this prayer in our seats today. And so we're all going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you were one of those people who lifted your hands to Jesus, I would encourage you to pray this prayer directly from your heart to God's heart. This morning, we're going to get the whole church so that you're not alone. We're going to get the whole church to pray this prayer alongside of you. Can we pray this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross to save me from my sin. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a savior, and I acknowledge that Jesus, you are the only one who can save me. Jesus, I receive your salvation today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give a round of applause to all those who made that decision? Congratulations. Congratulations. I believe with my whole heart that this is the best decision that you could ever make. And if you lifted your hands and you're in your seats, we have team all around who want to connect with you. They would love to put a Bible in your hand. They would love to help you get started in your relationship with Jesus. I'd encourage you, tell the friend that you came with today, hey, I lifted my hands. I was one of the people who made that decision to follow Jesus today. We also have a stand out in the foyer that says, why Jesus above it? And there is a team there that would love to answer any questions that you have about Jesus, that would love to chat with you and help you get started in your relationship with Jesus as well. Church, can we just lift up our hands to the Lord this morning? Oh yeah, we'll lift up a shout of praise too if you want. We're just doing whatever the people want today. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for dying on a cross to set us free. Jesus, we thank you for your blood and for your sacrifice. And this morning we pray, as we worship you, as we sing this song, God, let every person in this room have a life-transforming encounter with you, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.